Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Are you excited to be here today? I'm excited to be here today. Yes. We are continuing our series, and what is our series called? With all my mind, all my head. 46% of Americans struggle with mental health at some point in their life. And about 10% of our country has an anxiety disorder. That's a lot. Mental health isn't a modern concept, but part of who we are as humans and made in the image of God. Your identity and value is more than your past. It's more than your diagnosis and what people say about you. It's time to bust through mental health myths. It's time to end shame and confusion in the church. And we're going to look at what God says in the Bible and how it impacts each of us personally and in our world. Wow, that number there, 46%, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people who have struggled with some kind of mental health label or issue or condition. You know, so it's not an uncommon thing. But the thing about it is you wouldn't really necessarily know that going out into the world in a lot of ways, because people who are dealing with some kind of mental health issue become really great at hiding their issue. But there's a lot of people out there that are dealing with stuff. Our key verse for this message is, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love the neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself. Luke 10:27. Wow. God, I want to love you with all of this, all that I am, all that I am, Lord. And I want to love my neighbor as myself. That's so important there, to learn how to love yourself well so that you can love others. Sometimes we get so confused that we say we love others and we ourselves, and we do this self-deprecating thing, but God wants us to love ourselves in the proper way. He wants us to esteem others more highly than ourselves, but he still wants us to love ourselves as well. This week's message is called, He is My Strong Tower. He is my strong tower. And we're going to get there in time. The verse for today is John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Have it abundantly. The I came in that verse, it's Greek pronunciation and word is ir kom ahi. It means to come or to go. And I thought it was going to like blow my mind, but it just simply means to come. Jesus came. And as I was thinking about this verse and reading it, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The beginning of that verse attacks the verse of the month. It attacks the verse of the month. How so? To kill, steal, and destroy. Because I want to love God with all my heart. I don't want to destroy it. I want to love God with all my soul, all my emotions. I don't want it to kill or destroy it. And I want to love God with all my strength and all my mind. But thank God, the end of that verse is, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus came that you may have life. He said that you may have life. You got to choose him. I came that you may have life. And not only have it, not just get by, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. It's our church name. We thrive. We're not just surviving. We're not just getting by. We're thriving. Jesus came that you may have life and have it to the fullest. Have it abundantly. Do you have it? If you have your Bibles, and I know you do, turn to Judges chapter 6. We're getting there. We're getting close. Judges chapter 6. Who won? I did. Today we're going to be taking a look at a man named Gideon. Gideon. We're in Judges chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 11 down to 16, I believe. But first, I just want to give a little bit of a backstory on what Gideon was facing. Today, we're looking at the story of Gideon, and we're going to be picking up in verse 11. But first, I want to summarize what has happened. Israel has turned their backs on God, and he has opened the door for oppression from the Midianites to come in and take over that part of Israel. For 7 years, their crops and belongings were destroyed or stolen, leaving the entire country completely destitute. In the same way the plagues did in Egypt during Exodus. And they were unable to see a way out. They were going through a rough time. But God heard them, and now he's answering them. It says in verse 11, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out the wheat in the wine press in order to save it from the Midianites." So they were so scared of the Midianites that instead of beating the wheat where you're supposed to so the wind could get to it and blow it away, he was doing it in a place where he had to hide. Sometimes we feel like we need to hide. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Then Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian." The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of the Midian. Have I not sent you?" And he said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midian as one man." To tell you the truth, when we were given the topic of mental health and things like that, I didn't want to talk about it. There are many other things that I wanted to talk about. There's other things I want to preach about, you know, things I'm really super excited about God's word and how the Holy Spirit can empower you and how you can go reach the world for Christ and missionaries and stuff like that. That's what I'm passionate about. That's what I love to talk about. But I understand that there's a need to talk about mental health this day and age because, like we saw earlier, it's so prevalent. I didn't want to talk about it because I've had to deal with it myself. One of the most dangerous things I believe about mental health is this. If you're labeled with it, if you feel like you're experiencing it, sometimes I think it steals your identity. Like, how so, Caleb? How so, Pastor Caleb? Because I don't know about you, but when I've seen people deal with mental health, once they've been diagnosed with something, whether it's panic attacks or bipolar or any of those things, that instant, people put it on themselves and they see themselves only as that. I'm only depression. I am only a panic attack. I am only this. But God says we are so much more than that. The thing I'm scared about is if we face this, we think we're facing it alone, and we think it takes who we are, and it controls our life when that's not the truth. Gideon and his tribe were dealing with some things. Gideon himself admitted that his tribe had forgotten who they were and were unable to see their true God-given identity due to their social and physical vulnerability. They weren't walking in their true identity. They were walking in what they perceived was their identity. For me, my identity for a long time was panic attacks. When I was younger, like when I was in my teen years and things like that, I used to have panic attacks. And I mean like vicious ones, where, I mean, like, if you've never had one, it's hard to explain, like, what you go through when it happens to you. Like, this deep sense of, like, you're going to die, and it's going to happen. There's no other good outcome for it. This is going to be it, and you're done. Well, I dealt with that for a long time. I ended up taking medication for a while. I took that for a couple of years. Then I got born again, and God delivered me to a point where I didn't have to take that medication anymore. Yes, amen. And I'm not saying that I don't deal with aspects of anxiety to this day, but I'm delivered from that, where that's not controlling me like it used to control me. Like, whatever I was doing when that thing happened, I'd have to stop what I was doing, and I'd have to go and curl up because it was just taking over. But not anymore. But later on, when I was in my early 20s, maybe even 19, I wanted to join the military. I wanted to go into the military. Back then I was strong and fit and I could run forever. And by that time I had stopped taking the medicine for a while. It was a couple of years by then. And I wanted to sign up. So I went to the recruiter. At this time, I was in TC3. I was just general studies, but I got to enter ROTC through at Cornell. So I was in ROTC. I was going to school at TC3. And for me to continue to go to school and to pay for it, I was like, I'm going to join the National Guard so I can pay for what I've got. Then I can go do what I want to do when I'm done. And so at the end of one of the school years, I had talked to the major who was in head of ROTC that I was attending, and the local recruiter back here at in by the mall. And they had met together, and they were going to say, you know, like, well, we'll get him up to the ASVAB test, and he'll take his test, and we'll get him in so he can do boot camp during the summer so he can come back in the fall and go back to school. And it was like, yes, this is going to be awesome. So I get ready. I go up to Syracuse. They send me to Syracuse, and I take the written exam, and then I do the physical exam. The first time I've had like a full physical in my entire life. It was the first time I ever had my blood drawn in my entire life too. That was weird. And then I take the test, and then the written part, the guy who's in head of the whole thing up there, he comes in and he goes, you're going to be taking this test and you have the physical already. He says, but you have to tell us if you've ever had any mental condition at any point in your life. He says, we'll find out. If you lie to us today, we'll find out at some point. Trust me, we'll find out. We'll know. And he goes, that's not the honorable thing to do. You want to join the military to have honor. So as I did the test, at the one point, you have to write down whether you've had a mental illness at any point in your life. And I'm like, God, I want to do this. But is that the honorable thing to do, to lie on this test? But God, it'll be taken from me. I won't be able to do this. And I really want to do this. I'm looking forward to doing this. I've looked forward to doing this for a little while now, and I really want to do it. There's no honor in lying, and that's not how we want to show Jesus to the world. So I wrote down on that I had panic attacks when I was in my teens, and that I had taken medicine. And they collected the papers, and we all went out. And a couple minutes later, the recruiter who brought me up there goes, well, you're done. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yes, you put down that you took medication for panic attacks when you were younger, so you're done here. I thought my life was over. Because when you get something taken from you that you so wanted to do, it just hurts. When we face a mental health crisis or have been labeled by having a mental health illness, like I was saying earlier, the first thing that comes under attack is our identity. I wanted my identity to be a part of the military. I wanted to be a soldier. God, I admitted to this, and they took it from me. Because I have this, people see me differently. Because I have this, they don't see Caleb the brave. They don't see that. They see Caleb has panic attacks, and he's not good enough to be in the military. That's why I don't like mental health stuff. And I don't like talking about it a lot. But now, I see why it is very important to talk about it. Because it's going to give people hope when they put their eyes on Jesus and not eyes on the thing that we have to go through. How we see ourselves and how others see us can be affected in a negative way when we lose sight of how God sees us. When we put our identity in the mental health disease or label that we have or the illness that we have, when we put our identity in that, instead of putting our eyes on Him, it'll affect us in a negative way. But when we do, it'll change everything. Just see how Gideon dealt with this. Well, he's like, he didn't have a mental health thing. but he saw himself in a negative light, and it wasn't his identity. And it says in verse 12, it says, the first thing the angel of the Lord said to Gideon, after all this stuff that identified Gideon's tribe and who they were and what they had done, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." See, when the Lord first appeared to him, the angel of the Lord first appeared to him, he identified him as his God-given identity, who he truly was, a valiant warrior. And more so than that, the Lord is with you. But Gideon, knowing who he is, knowing who his identity is, he says, Gideon says to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But the Lord has abandoned us and has given us into the hand of the Midian." Then the Lord says to him again, and the Lord looked at him and said, "Go in your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of the Midian. Have I not set you?" So he gives him his identity. Now he's giving him his calling. But Gideon refused him again. And he said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Messiah, and I am the youngest in my father's house. God, how can you use me? I'm just nobody from Lansing, New York, the least in my family. I have panic attacks, and I took medicine for it. That's all I'll ever be." But God says, "No, your true identity is a valiant warrior, and I am with you. And I have given you a calling to walk it out, to live it out." When we lose sight of our identity in Christ, it stops us for who God has called us to be, because we focus so much on it and not who he says we are. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel from the hand of the Midian. Am I not sending you?" Then in verse 16, it says, "Surely I will be with you," the Lord replied, "and you shall strike down all the Midianites as one man." His tribe was at their weakest. It is that point when you're at your weakest that you can see the strength of God working in you and through you. It is at that point that God can do miraculous things and deliver. I have a bunch of notes here, and as I'm reading them, I just feel that there's an area right now that you may be struggling with your identity with Christ. And it may not be a mental health issue. It may be something else that you're identifying with instead of identifying with what God has for you. And you may be sitting here, "Well, this mental health stuff is great and important, but it's not really addressing what I'm going through right now. I feel for those people, but what I'm going through right now, I identify with." And just like Gideon, when you're at your weakest, and you can only identify with the problem that you're going through, God will show you who your true identity is. He will show you what your calling is. And it's at that point where you have to drop what you think you are and go after what He says you are to walk in your true identity. As I think about who I am in Christ, and I look back at the person I wanted to be, and how devastated I was back then that I couldn't go into the military. And sometimes I think about it from time to time. I think about who I could have been, where I could have been, what could have happened. And I was like, man, I wish I was there sometimes. But then I look at what I have now and where God has me right now. Because if I had lied and maybe gotten in, I probably wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't get to be a pastor for you guys. I wouldn't get to be married to Natalie. I wouldn't be a father of three kids. All that to say, wow, that's harder than I thought. All that to say, I know what some of you are going through with this kind of struggle. And I know sometimes that there are some dark places that you've been through and dark things that you have had to deal with. And you may think that there's no good that can come from what you're going through. But I'm telling you that there is. I'm telling you, when you put your eyes on Him and you hear and you go to His Word and you hear what He says about you, your true identity in Christ, and you cling to His calling for you and you cling to Him, you can change the world. And not to see yourself anymore as the person dealing with this, but to see yourself as the person God has called to the world. Mm-hmm. And in closing, you can rise. We are short today. Know what the weird thing about it is? I have more notes today than I usually do. And only used about three words of it. And I know this is kind of a conjuncted or a smaller sermon than I'm usually having. But I know it was for a reason. I know the way it came across today touched somebody that needed to have it heard that way, have it spoken to them that way, where it was real. Where they now see somebody that's up front that they can connect to, where they have gone through the same thing, and you're wondering, is anybody else in the same boat that I am? Is anybody else ever faced anything like this? And I'm telling you that there are. You're not alone. And to turn your eyes to Him and just face, oh, and just see His face and how He's reaching out to you and His love for you. Oh. Father God, as we go through this week, let us see who our true identity is in You, how You feel about us, what You say about us, that we are loved, that we are Your child, that we are secure in you, that we are precious to you, that we are holy, and that we have the mind of Christ, and we have an inheritance, and we are blessed, and we are whole. And maybe you're sitting here today and you don't know the Lord. I'm telling you, he's reaching out for you this morning. All you've got to do is call out his name. It says in the Word of God that if you call out his name, Jesus, if you call upon his name, you will be saved. So Father God, as people bow their heads, and as people are watching online, if you have not received the Lord as your Lord and Savior yet, just call upon his name. Oh. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And bless everybody who has this morning, Father God. Let them get in contact with the leadership here, Father God. And if they're at home, a Bible-believing church, wherever they're at, and have them say that they just called upon the name of the Lord Jesus to save them. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this message that was a little different than normal. But I know you're blessing it, Father God. And as the people walk out today, let them look back at the wall and see the truth of those things that are written on there. That they are free. That they are secure and they are held by you. And to take those words and to know them to be true. That nobody, no matter what anybody has said about them in their past or what they thought about themselves or, oh, I have this mental condition, Father God, that's all that I'll ever be, that's not true. The truth is who you say we are, that we're loved and precious in your sight. God, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.